So last week, we looked at the rise of smart glasses and how the tech industry finally seems to be cracking the code on making wearable technology that's not just functional, but something that people actually want to wear. And I just want to play you a snippet of the chat I had with freelance tech reporter Alice Clark. She was talking about the potential of this technology and the ethical considerations that shone through for her.
I had a demo of a pair of Razer glasses. So Razer's a gaming brand. These are concept glasses earlier in the year where you could look at a coworker and the agent would tell you their name and a recent achievement so you could start a conversation. And as somebody who is terrible with both names and faces, I love the idea of that. Like, I think there's a lot of really cool things you could do with that. And also as a accessibility device, it could be really cool for people with vision impairments or cognitive decline. The problem is that if you attach facial recognition to technology that's connected to the internet that is on everyone's face, how can that be misused by a company famous for, let's say, thinking of Meta, for example, famous for not really caring about other people's privacy and profiling users even if they are not on the platform?
So that is Alice Clark speaking to me last week. One point from that conversation really stood out. Beyond the privacy concerns and the futuristic features, smart glasses could also become a game-changing accessibility tool. It's something that you were really vocal about on the text line, and it prompted Graham Innes to contact me. Graham is the Chancellor of Central Queensland University, and he's here for a chat. Graham, welcome to Life Matters.
Great to be here, Tegan.
Tell me about your experience with these glasses.
Well, my wife says it's life-changing, and I think she's probably right. I mean, I'm wearing them now and talking to you, so they work as a Bluetooth headset for my mobile phone. But the key thing that I can do is two things. Firstly, I can take a picture of a product, a packet, or a box in the kitchen, and the AI can read the text on that box, and I can get information about that particular food or how to get a recipe with that particular food. So it's really empowering in that way. I've just never been able to do that before.
To be super clear, you're blind.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I should have said that straight at the top. Yeah.
No, that's okay. We should clarify that. So I can't read that sort of material until now. Or I can pick up a book or magazine and take a picture of the cover and find out what it is. And I could read the book if I wanted to that way. I would rather read stuff digitally, just get the digital file. But it is possible to do it that way. And I've done it with magazines when I've been in different places, just to, scan through them. But the other thing that I can do is I have a visual description service, so I can call up an agent who can look through my smart glasses as I'm walking along and can also see me with my GPS location and give me descriptions of the environment and where I need to go to get to a particular place. So that too is a really enabling feature.
When you say an agent, are you talking about an AI agent or a human who's speaking to you looking through what you can see on your glasses?
Soon you will be able to do it with an AI agent. They're not quite there yet, so I use a human at this point. We're not far off the day when I'll be able to use an AI agent for that process. And can I comment on the privacy issues Alice was talking about, Tegan? Because I think smart glasses or smart devices like this get a bad rap. I mean, this privacy has been an issue ever since we've had smartphones. If you're taking a camera in your pocket anywhere, then you can take pictures using that phone, and you can do it pretty discreetly. If you choose to do that. So I think the privacy horse has bolted. So to say that there's a privacy issue for smart glasses is a bit like closing the stable door, I think. The glasses that Alice talked about in that clip that you just played, I'm not aware of those, but I know on the Meta glasses that I have, if I'm filming or taking photos, there's a little light that shows on the glasses. So it's fairly clear that I'm doing that. And of course, there would be situations where it would be inappropriate to take pictures or to film. And the medical one you talked about last week, or your guest talked about, would be one example of that. But it'd be inappropriate to take pictures with your mobile phone in that situation as well.
What kind of questions do you get from people when you're wearing them?
I get compliments most of the time because they look pretty good. So previous versions of the smart glasses have looked a bit gawky and different, but these ones look pretty impressive. So most of my friends and people around comment pretty positively on them. And when I explain the advantages, then people are just really pleased and overwhelmed that that sort of technology is available. I've had no negative feedback about the glasses.
That's really interesting. I'm wondering what you sort of see as the future of this kind of technology for people with disabilities.
Well, I mean, I think technology doesn't resolve disability, but it can be a great enabler for people with disabilities. I think these smart glasses are just one example. I'm used to use a guide dog. I don't now, but I'm hopeful next year that I will get a guidance robot, which is a little robot that sits on two wheels and you hold onto it with a handle like a vacuum cleaner, and it's got GPS and cameras on board, and it just guides you from one place to the next, or you know, wherever you want to go. I think technology is going to do some amazing things. I'm really excited about the possibility of technology, and I think of robots in people's homes. People with disabilities will be really enabling them, and we've seen this in Japan. We haven't adopted it so much in Australia here, but it's coming, I think, Tegan.
Do you think when we're talking about these sorts of advancements in technology, AI, robots, smart glasses, do you feel like the voices of people with disabilities are in these conversations enough?
Well, I think so. I've certainly been involved in a lot of these conversations. I'm interested in this sort of technology, so I'm a bit of a geek, but I think people are being heard and consulted on the use of them, and that will need to continue to occur. But, you know, I was at a Chancellor's meeting last week in Brisbane where Queensland University of Technology are doing some amazing work with robots, and we had a little robot walking around amongst us and doing its stuff. And they're not quite there yet in terms of the day-to-day use. But my wife and I go to restaurants here on the Gold Coast where robots deliver the food, that's not just cute but useful in terms of saving staff time to do other things. So you know, we're moving much closer towards that, and I expect to have a self-driving car in the next few years.
Well, Graham, thank you so much for sharing your insights. I really appreciate it. Graham Innes AM is the Chancellor of Central Queensland University. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.